Thank you, Dr. Rigsby. It is a joy to be with you this morning. I must tell you that I enjoy hearing Dr. Rigsby whistle. How many of you have heard Dr. Rigsby whistle? Would you raise your hand? Would you agree with me that he whistles very well? We won't ask him to sing, but we may ask him to come up and whistle. And it's a joy. You know, I love sitting on the platform on a Sunday morning. That choir behind me makes me sound like I'm singing quite well. And what a wonderful music service we've had this morning. I don't know about you, but I've already been blessed. And I look forward to what God has for us this morning. Would you turn with me in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. In Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We find ourselves, as we read in this passage, sitting alongside that great man whom God used such a wonderful way, we find ourselves with Moses. He's surrounded by the people of Israel, and he is speaking to them one last time. He's giving them his final words, and we find them recorded from Deuteronomy chapter 27, on through 28, 29, 30, and 31. We want to take just a little glimpse in chapter number 28 of what he's saying. We won't try to read the whole chapter. It's quite a long chapter. But I believe that as we read this morning, you'll get an idea as to what he's talking about in all of this discourse and all of these last statements that he is making to the people of Israel. Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse number 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand the truth of these words. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts the importance of doing your will and doing it now. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that I have of preaching. And Lord, I know that there is nothing that I can do or say that will be of any benefit unless you speak through me. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning as your messenger. I pray that you would remove every obstacle from our midst that would hinder your perfect will being accomplished. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you will do in us and through us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we had continued reading Deuteronomy chapter number 28, we would have found that for the next many verses, you would have seen curse after curse after curse after curse. Discipline, condemnation upon those who had heard the words of God, but who did not obey the words of God. Quite often people have said that we live in a very difficult day. If you were to read the news, if you were to look at politics, if you were to look at the nation in which we live, you must admit that things are not as they should be. Our country has turned their back on God. The greatest difficulty that we face today is not a difficulty in Washington. It is a difficulty in our own hearts. Because we who know the Word of God do not follow the Word of God as we should. And is it any surprise then that we sometimes face curses and that we face discipline and that we face correction from our Lord God, who has already promised us that He will correct us because He is a good Father? We are not illegitimate children. We must thank Him for His correction and for His discipline that He allows in our life. But as we read through these verses, one of the things which I see over and over and over is this importance of doing God's will now. Doing God's will at this time. Not waiting until later. I see here in verse number 1, and it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee." And then notice this, "this day." Was this the first time that the people of Israel had heard these particular commandments? Oh no, they had been hearing them every day for 40 years. So what's the difference, Moses? What has changed? What is the new dynamic that then leads you to mention these words? Because the Bible tells us that Moses is now 120 years old. And even though his strength is not abated, and although his eye is still as strong as it was in the past, he knew from God that his time was about to end. We know that when Moses went to be with the Lord, he did not die as we do. He was one of those few chosen people that God took and buried himself, and no one knows where he is until this day. And so we see here that as he knows his life is coming to an end, he wants to share something very, very important. And there is an urgency in what he's saying. If I were to put a title on this message this morning, I would call this "The Importance of Now." The importance of now. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, the Bible, God has a lot to say about now. The phrase "today" is used 76 times. The phrase "this day" is used 323 times. The word "afterward" or "afterwards" is used a total of 83 times, but the word "now" is used 1,356 times in our Bible. So what does this teach us about God? It tells us that God wants us to do things immediately. When He tells us to do something, He doesn't want us to wait. He doesn't want us to think about it. He doesn't want us to dwell upon it and to say, "Well, let me consider the pros and the cons and whether or not this is really best for me. I just need to think about this for a while and settle this in my own heart and in my own mind as to whether or not I really should or should not do this." God wants us to obey immediately. I love the story of Joseph. God comes to Joseph in the middle of the night and tells him that his girlfriend is expecting a baby, and he says, "Go and take Mary to be thy wife." Now, true, I am contextualizing that. I'm putting that into today's terminology, but that's basically what happened. And so Joseph got up at that moment of the night from his sleep. He rose up, he went over to Mary's house, and he took her as his wife at that moment. That's the kind of obedience that God wants us to have. We find in Matthew chapter number 2 that God comes to Joseph a second time. And Joseph is once again asleep, and God comes to him in a vision. And he says, Joseph, there are some people who want to kill this child, and so arise with Mary and the child and go to Egypt. And Joseph gets up at that very hour, in the middle of the night. He does not wait for day to come. He doesn't wait for the local 7-Eleven to start selling their morning pita so that he can get something to eat for the road. He gets his wife, he gets his child, and he takes them and he goes at that hour down to Egypt. Do we have that kind of obedience to God? Are we willing to do things now when God tells us to do them now? You see, Moses felt that there was no time to be lost. He felt that there were some great blessings to be gained, but there were also some horrible cursings that could fall upon the people of Israel if they did not obey God's voice. And he said, we must do it now. And so it is that he begins to tell them all of these things. You know, life-changing decisions are often made on the spur of the moment. Some of us are married to a beautiful and a wonderful wife, and that decision to marry or not marry her was literally made on the spur of the moment. I remember when my dad called me from Washington State and he said, son, there's a pastor up here that has a daughter, and I think that she might be the one for you. Ho, ho, ho. I said, Dad, you've got to be kidding. And then the thought hit me, and what if this is God's will? And I said, Lord, let your will be done. Now, as soon as I met her, there was no problem. I was willing to get married. As a matter of fact, I'd only been there for 3 days. Her father kept me away from her for all 3 days. I had barely gotten to speak to her. In 3 days of being in Pasco, Washington, I spoke to her for a total of about 2 minutes. I got on the plane to go back to Mexico from Washington State, and in my heart, I said, Lord, that's the lady I'm going to marry. And I don't even know her. That is so strange. You know, God shows us His will, and He expects us to act upon His will immediately. And so, today, I would like to ask you, how can I act now upon God's will? I believe that everyone in this room has something they're supposed to do before you leave this room. I am convinced that every person here needs to make one of three choices this morning. And I would like to ask you to just listen to God's voice and to be willing to do His will and to do it now. The first choice that you and I must consider is the choice about salvation. We must consider this choice about salvation. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never heard what it means to be saved. You've never heard that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left His throne in glory and came down to this earth and lived as a man for 30 years and then began His ministry and for 3 more years had a ministry among men whereby He went and He spread the good news of the coming kingdom of God, and then He was taken by the Roman soldiers and He was condemned to death and He was hanged upon the cross, and for those 6 hours as He was there upon the cross, He was communicating with His Father and with our God, and as He was there upon the cross, He bore the sins of every man and every woman and every child upon Himself, and He paid the price for our sin, and He died, and then He was buried, and for 3 days He was in a tomb. And during those 3 days while He was in a tomb, the Bible says that God performed a great miracle, and at the end of those 3 days, Jesus Christ arose victorious from the grave, and He had settled the price for our sin, and He had rose victorious over death, and He had the privilege of leading captivity captive, and He had the opportunity of giving you salvation and becoming what the Bible calls the author of our salvation. You and I have today the choice. regarding salvation. Go with me, if you would, to the New Testament. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "For he saith," this is God, "for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." Now notice the latter part of this verse. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see the importance of now. I'm speaking to someone here in this room who knows that you're not saved. You know that Jesus Christ is not a part of your life. You know that you have never been forgiven of your sins. It may be that you've sat in this church for some time and you've heard the gospel and you know enough to be saved, but you've just never made that decision. Maybe you've come and you've heard a Sunday school teacher explain how you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and how that your sins can be forgiven for all of eternity and how that you can know that you will spend eternity with God in heaven, but you've never made that choice. You've never made that decision. And I commend to you this choice regarding salvation, to choose to be saved today. You see, the Bible says that it's a choice that needs to be made now. Can I tell you that the choice regarding salvation is easier right now than it will ever be for the rest of your life? If you tell the Lord no, it will continually get harder until the day you die and you will have died without salvation. You keep putting God off, it becomes easier and easier and easier to tell God no. And you no longer can hear His voice saying to you, you need to be saved. You've got to take care of this. You see the importance of now. Now. This verse says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You see, the Bible tells us that God wants everyone who understands their need of a Savior to be saved immediately. When you understand that you are a sinner, and once you understand that your sin alienates you from God, and once you understand that without God you will be lost in eternity forever, once you understand that, at that moment, God wants you to be saved. Do you remember that day? For there are some in this room who have been saved. Do you remember that time? Do you remember what happened? I remember that Thursday evening when my father was preaching. I was seated on this side of the auditorium in a little church in Tepoztlan, Mexico. And as he spoke that night, in my heart I knew that I had a need of a Savior. I knew that I needed Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. And as I sat there, I remember that I just couldn't wait for the invitation to begin. And as that first hymn of invitation was sung, I left my place and I came and I knelt on this side of the altar. My dad came down from the pulpit and he put his arm around my shoulders and he said, "Son, can I pray with you?" And I said, "Yes, Daddy. I need to be saved." And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior that night. No, it wasn't the first time for me to hear the good news of salvation, but I made a choice. And I chose to do God's will regarding salvation. Some of us remember that day with great joy. Some of you who listen to my voice today tremble because you know that you have not yet been saved. You know that Jesus Christ is not your Savior. You know that heaven is not your eternal destiny. And I commend to you this choice of salvation. Secondly, God wants us to choose to be sanctified. A choice regarding sanctification. When we use the word sanctification, some people think that that's some sort of an old-fashioned word that needs to be avoided at all cost. But let me tell you what sanctification really means. Sanctification means that you allow God to make you just as holy as He is. Oh, it's not something that you can do for yourself. It's talking about getting rid of sin that's in your heart, getting rid of the sin that does so easily beset you, as we heard about in Sunday school this morning. It's talking about letting God take your sin away from you and let you be a new creature and restore unto you the joy of your salvation. You see, the Bible teaches us that God wants us to be sanctified. Look over, if you would, in John chapter number 15 and verse number 3. In John 15, 3, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And this is once again the night before that He is to be crucified. And as He speaks to them regarding this vine and the branches, He says in verse number 3 of John 15, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You see, it is the Word of God that helps us to come to that place of being clean. Sometimes I have to come to my children and I have to say to my children, "You need to take a bath. You need to go get in the shower." And I won't mention which one of them, but I sometimes have to do that. And if you're a mom or a dad, you've had to do that to your children at some point. I remember something my dad used to tell me when I was a teenager. He'd say, "Son, if you can smell yourself, everyone else has been smelling you for a long time. Go take a shower." But the same thing is true regarding our sin. When I suddenly come to the realization that my sin is showing and other people can see it, they've been seeing it for a long time. There's someone here in this room today that's battling with sin. The fact of the matter is you know you've got some sin in your heart and in your life. You know that you're not right with God. You know that you need His forgiveness, but you're not quite willing to let it go. You enjoy it just a little too much. The fact is you don't want to give it up because you like it. It's fun, and you don't want to leave that sin. But you don't realize how much it's harming you, and how much it's harming your family, and how much it's harming others that see your Christian testimony be tarnished by that sin which is in your heart and in your life. And oh, that God would help you to make the right choice regarding sanctification today. Oh, that God would speak to us and He would show us that sin in our hearts and help us to come and bow before Him and say, "Lord God, I am so sorry I have sinned against You. Please forgive me for doing this. Please forgive me for hiding this sin in my heart." See, the Bible says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. The Bible says that whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. We find here in Deuteronomy chapters 27, 28, 29, and 30, 31, all of these blessings that come upon those who do God's will, and all of God's correction and cursings and discipline upon those who reject doing God's will. And how many times as we are in sin, we say no to God. We do not receive His blessings. There may be someone here this morning that is experiencing at this time God's chastisement upon you because you're not willing to let that sin go. You're not willing to seek forgiveness for that sin. And you know that you're under God's correction. You know that God is disciplining you, perhaps in a health issue, perhaps in a financial issue, perhaps in some other area in your life. You know that God is correcting you, but you're still not quite willing to give it up. Please, may today be the day that you choose to do God's will regarding sanctification. You see, it is God's will for those who recognize their sin that they should repent and confess immediately. I do not find any place in the Bible where God comes to someone and said, "This is your sin which you have done, but don't worry about confessing it now. Wait a few more days." When God shows us our sin, our correct response should be, "Yes, Lord, I come to ask Your forgiveness immediately." The importance of now. The importance of now. You see, we need to make the right choice regarding sanctification. We need to make the right choice regarding getting rid of that sin which does so easily beset us. Sin separates us from God. And the devil wants us to stay in that sin for as long as we can so that we will continue to be separated from God and from God's blessings upon us. And he will give us any reason. He will give us any pretext. He will give us anything that we can to keep us away from falling on our knees in humble confession of that sin. But God wants us to seek His forgiveness immediately. In Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30, I want you to see this. It says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." The times of this ignorance, what is this talking about? You know, sometimes we don't even realize that we've committed sin. We don't understand that what we've done is wrong. But when that ignorance is past and when God shows us what we've done and we have the light to know that we are in sin and we understand that we have gotten ourselves separated from God, at that moment we need to come and confess our sins before Him. Oh, that God would help us today to search our hearts and help us to see any wicked way that we might confess it before Him today. There is a third choice that we must make. That is a choice to serve. A choice to serve the Lord. Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15. This is a very well-known verse. If you've never memorized this verse, I would encourage you to do so. If you have not underlined it, I would encourage you to also underline it. But the Bible says in Joshua chapter number 24 and verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day, whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There's a third choice that God would have us to make today, and that is a choice to serve Him. A choice to serve Him now. You know, when we choose to serve God, we might think that, well, when I choose to serve God immediately, all of my problems will disappear. That's not what happens, folks. Quite often, when we choose to serve God, we're suddenly faced with some battles that we never expected that we would see. God allows things to come our way to prove us and to prepare us so that we can serve Him. But one of the first steps in serving is sacrifice. Oh, that God would help us to be willing to sacrifice who we are and what we have because He is worthy of all of our service. Last night as I was preparing and studying and praying, my heart was broken. I'm thankful to the Lord that I can be here at Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas this morning. I believe with all my heart it's God's will that I should be here. But I was also thinking of the fact that while I was praying last night, church service was starting in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. And oh, how I would have loved to have been there. And I can think of other places where God is allowing His Word to go out and to be preached. And what a blessing it would be for us to be in those places as well. God has chosen us to be at one place at one time. What holds us back from serving? Quite often it's because we're not willing to sacrifice. We're not willing to say, "Lord, I give You myself. I give You my dreams. I give You my hopes and my aspirations. Lord, I'm willing to give You everything I have because You are worthy." Oh, that God would help us to choose today to serve Him. You see, it's God's will for those who recognize Him as supreme that we would choose to serve Him for the rest of our life and to do that immediately. Serving God does not begin at a particular age. I remember when my dad came to me, and once again he was preaching in a little church in Warner Robins, Georgia. I was 13 years old, and he was speaking that night on the importance of giving your life to the Lord and serving Him. And that night I surrendered and I came forward, and Dad said, "Bill, what are you up here for?" And I said, "Dad, I believe God's calling me to preach." And he said, "That's wonderful, Bill." A few weeks later he said, "You're going to be preaching tonight." I was still 13 years old. I said, "Well, hold on, Dad. I don't think you understood. You see, I surrendered to preach for someday like when I become an adult." And he said, "Did God call you now?" I said, "Well, yes." He said, "Then you should start preaching now." And I said, "Oh, no." I remember I prepared and I prepared and I prepared. I was such a nervous wreck that night, 13 years old, standing in the pulpit in the church in Cuernavaca, Mexico. I preached for a total of 4 minutes, and I had said things I didn't even know were in the Bible. I said everything I'd ever heard in Sunday school. I gave every story I could remember. I tried every way I could to make it last another 5 seconds, and there was nothing yet that I could say. I was so embarrassed. I remember I sat down after I'd preached. I felt like a failure. And I looked up and I saw my dad. And if you know my dad, you understand why. He had tears running down his eyes. He said, "Son, that was a blessing. Thank you." You know, the Bible teaches us God wants us to serve Him. And He wants us to make that choice right now. He's not asking for you to someday serve Him, someday off in the future. Some of you have just come back from a missions trip in Ghana, West Africa. One of the ladies here in the church told me this. She said, "Bill, it was the hardest thing I've ever done to get on a plane." And I thought she was going to say, "to go to Africa." But she didn't say that. She said, "It was the hardest thing I've ever done to get on a plane to leave Africa and come back home." You see, when you get a taste of what it's like to serve God, can I tell you that we as missionaries feel sorry for those of you who have to stay back in the States. It is such a thrill to serve God and to see Him do things which are far beyond what any man can do. You see, God wants us to serve Him. There is a choice that you need to make. There's first a definitive choice. That's where you say, "I decide right now I am going to serve God." Whether that's as a pastor, as a missionary's wife, whatever that may be, you say, "I choose to serve God right now." And then there's that daily choice. That's where you get up each morning and you say, "Lord, I decide I'm going to keep on serving You. Oh yes, I made this decision years ago, but I recommit myself again today and again today and again today." Several years ago, I was speaking with a missionary who's a missionary in Germany. His brother came to me and he said, "You know, Bill," he said, "I can't tell you exactly how many times," he said, "I think it's 3 or 4. He said, I've decided that I wanted to resign as a missionary." He said, "The winters are so cold in the area where we live." He said, I've literally written out my letter of resignation. I've made copies to send to all my churches." He said, "On 2 occasions, I put them inside the envelopes, got the stamps, put the stamps on the envelope, and I'm on my way down to the post office to drop them off in the mail, and God looks down from heaven and said, 'I called you to serve Me. You can't quit now.'" He said, "And I've torn them up and gone back home." Can I tell you, it's such a joy and a privilege to serve God. Even when you're in the middle of it and you may want to quit, God just reminds you once again, "Listen, there's nothing like serving Me." What a blessing it is to serve the Lord. Serving God has its privileges. Not serving God has its consequences. And I ask you today, what about right now? What choice is God asking you to make today? Perhaps it's a choice regarding salvation. Perhaps it's a choice regarding sanctification. Perhaps it's a choice regarding service. Whatever that is, would you simply do God's will? Let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing. Lord in heaven, I want to thank you because you have a choice that you have set before every one of us today. Lord, your word tells us that you set before us life that we might live. You give us a choice to choose you this day whom you shall serve. Lord, you give us a choice regarding our salvation. And you give us a choice regarding sanctification. You give us a choice regarding service. Dear God, help us to make the right choices today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask all of you to stand to your feet. Right where you are. Would you please stand? There's some already here in the front. If God's speaking to your heart and you need to come right now, just go ahead and leave even before I begin asking who needs to come. Just come on up if you know you need to be here. Can I ask you today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you would be able to raise your hand and say, I know that I am saved. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I can raise my hand as a testimony of my salvation. Would you just raise your hand if you know for sure you're saved? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You can lower your hands. You know, I noticed some of you couldn't raise your hand. Maybe you're here today and the fact of the matter is you have not yet been saved and you need to be saved. Would you right now leave your place and come here to the front? There are men all over the front of this auditorium who are waiting, who would love to show you how you can be saved. Would you just leave your place right now? Just leave. Just don't have to tell anybody. Just slip out of your place. Come here to the front and tell them I need to get saved. How many here today would say, you know, I need to make the right choice regarding sanctification. There's some sin in my heart, and I know I'm not doing God's will. I know I am in sin, and I don't want to continue in that sin. And you just say, please pray for me about my sin. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? If God is dealing with you in this matter, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Could I just ask you to do something? If God has spoken to your heart regarding some sin that needs to be taken care of, would you just leave your place and come here to the front? Find a place to kneel and pray. And just talk to the Lord for a few minutes about it. Just come on forward right now. Right now. Come on forward. But perhaps you're here today and you'd say, you know, God's speaking to me about serving Him. And I want to serve God. I want to give Him my heart, my life. I want to give Him everything I've got. I just want to give myself to the Lord. And you'd say, I want to serve Him. Oh, I want to serve my God. If that's true in your heart, would you just raise your hand? I'd like to be able to pray for you. God bless 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 you. You say, God's calling me. He wants me to serve Him. Would you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. I'd also like to ask you to do one more thing. If God has spoken to you, and He's calling you to serve Him, would you just leave your place also right now and join these who are already here at the front? Folks, you know, I really do believe in the importance of now. I believe God has some decisions He wants us to make right now. He doesn't want us to leave this room until we've made that choice to do His will. Oh, that God would just impress that upon our hearts and help us to make that choice right now. If God is telling us you've got to do something, leave your place. Come here to the front. Find a place to kneel and pray. Do God's will and do it now. Is there anyone else? Anyone else who needs to come? May God have His will in our life. I'm going to ask Brother Andrew to come and sing a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to you and there's a decision you need to make right now, please leave your place. Come out. Come right now and do what God has asked you to do. Brother Andrew.